Fine. So the Shach asks a stira in the Tosfos. So the Shach answers, if we're talking about a goy or Yisrael mummer, so then there is no such thing as char avad nahara. But if we're talking about a regular Yisrael, so char avad nahara is going to be nisa drabanan. The Dogomer of over on the side of the page says, what's the pshat Shach? Mummer is dino ki yisrael, a whole davar, the Gemara says. So how come there's no isa drabanan? So the Dogomer of over wants to say that the pshat in the Shach is that a mummer is presumably violating the isra and the b'mezer. And there's no din of misayeya if someone is violating b'mezer. You want to do it yourself, so I'm not really helping you out. You want to do it, it's b'mezer. That's what the Dogomer Vava says the pshat in the Shach is. Other paiskim say a little bit different to the pshat in the Shach. The question really is, do I hold like this Shach? Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his tshuva about the catering, that Siman Ayin Beis that we spoke about, paskins like the Shach, he says, Al Karcha, the Shach is right, he has arrived in the Gemara of Halitayol Rosh of Yamos, like the Shach. Other poskim are less inclined to paskin like the Shach. The Shaila comes up, what about being Mesader Kedushin for a couple who won't keep Taras HaMishpacha? Is that permitted or not? The Sri Deyesh quotes, in Chelek Gimel Simen Chav Ches, that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was Machmir. The Sri Deyesh himself is Machmir, not to be Mesader Kedushin. They're only going to be Mesader Kedushin if the woman goes to the mikveh before the wedding. But he writes in the end of that tshuva that the Rabbonei America are Megal because they rely on the Shach. Right? If the person is not going to keep Tasa Mishpacha, it's a mummer. A mummer is doing an Aveir B'mezid, so there's no Lifnei Iver B'chad Avad Nahara. You could get some other rabbi. Right? Again, that relates to the Grav versus the Ramah, whether that's considered Chad Avad Nahara. You don't have another rabbi here. You could get some other rabbi. Right? It's Ke'il, you're going to a store. So, the Minig is to be Megal on this Shaila, like the Sri Deyesh quotes. Now, the Meshev Davar, the Netziv in his tshuvas, and the Binyan Sion, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger in his tshuvas, Simon Tesvav and the Binyan Sion, they have a different teretz to the Stir in Tosfos. Different teretz. They say, it's not what the Shach means, but they say that there is a difference between before the Zman of the Avera and after the Zman of the Avera. Zot, the Binyan Sion, that Misayeya, if it's Char Avad Nahara, but the Avera hasn't begun yet, so that's going to be Mutter. It's only an Isser Misayeya if the guy's going to do the Avera Mamish right now. Right? So if I give you a Kais Yayin, if you're a Nazir, I give the Yayin to you, and you're going to drink it right now? In that situation, that's Misayeya, and that's going to be an Isser Drabanon. But if I give you a kos yayin and you'll drink the kos yayin later, says the Binyan Sion and the Meshev Davar, that type of misayeya is going to be permitted. So therefore, the Meshev Davar talks about, what about this case? Be misad or kedushin for a couple who's not going to keep taharas hamishpacha. Is that okay? Right? Are they doing that very right now or later on? They're not doing that very right now. They'll do that very later on. Okay? Okay? Rib 5 Kohen, apparently paskins like this Binyan Sion. It doesn't pass like the Dago Miravava. It's a big question. Can you rely on this Dago Miravava's Pshat in the Shach? It's just interesting to know that Rabbi David Karliner has a different Hesber in this whole thing. The David Karliner says the Pshat in the Shach is that by every Isid Rabbanan, we treat a mummer like Dino Kagoy Lachol Dover. Shai Shechter told me that his father has 6 Mahalchim to answer the Stira in Tosfos. I only know of 3. I've been looking. Apparently, Rav Shed says that the Chemed somewhere has 6 approaches. I've never found it. So, good luck. Okay, so this takes us to the end of whose share was this? Rabbi Neuberger's share about Lifnei Iver. Maybe let's talk about a few minutes. We'll do the beginning of Rav Shechter's share. You guys have 5 more minutes, 8 more minutes. We'll talk about the beginning of Rav Shechter's share, where he went through different aspects of kashrus. Mostly identification of minim. Simen pei beis in Yerideya. Simen pei beis. What is the story of eating birds? Now, the Torah mentions 24 birds. Those 24 birds are the minei oif tmeim. That means every other bird is going to be an oif tahar. Right? Pashut. However, we're not exactly sure what these 24 are. So the Rishonim have certain simanim, right? If an oif has a extra finger. If it has a zefek, it has a crop. And if it has the heiliger korkiva niklaf, right, it has a, what's a korkivan? We did a pipik. Mm-hmm. It has a pipik that you can just peel off, then it's an oif tahar. That's what the Mechaber paskins. You have these simanim, for sure you know it's an oif tahar. If you know it's not doyreis, how do you know it's not doyreis? Also, you have to know that it's not a bird of prey, a doyreis. So you know it's not doyreis by a certain way that the animal looks. That's on some in pei beis, mechaber paskins. That's okay. Ashkenazim, however, paskin like Rashi and the Isser v'Heter and the Rambam paskins this way. That ain of necha ela b'masores. That means that you need a tradition to eat the oif. If you don't have a masora, it's going to be not permitted. What about turkey? Can turkey possibly have a masora? Or not, right? Because turkey is a New World bird. And Jews didn't live in the New World. Right? There were people in the New World before Christopher Columbus came. Right? Native Americans. But unless you're one of these strange groups of historians who assume that the Native Americans were originally Jews. So the pashtus is that, right? And there's no Masaira on the New World animals. So turkey shouldn't be kosher. How can we eat turkey? So Zohar Amar points out in his Sefer about the Masorah of Ophos. He's a professor in Bar Ilan. He writes lots of articles. He points out that the reason we eat turkey is because the original Jews who came to the New World were Sfaradim. They came to Recife, Brazil in the year 1654. Right? These are the first Jews who came to the New World. The Sfaradim ate these birds because Sfaradim, well, you don't need a Masaira. And turkey has all of the criteria. It has the Etzbe Yaseira, and it has the Kirkava Niklaf, and it has the Zefek. So it's okay. For Ashkenazim, technically it shouldn't be okay. But once the Sfaradim started to eat it, the Ashkenazim took it from them and they started to eat it. So Jews have been eating Ashkenazim, eating turkey for a long time. But Lamaisa probably didn't begin the Heter. That was the first point that Rav Schechter made. Now, what about fish? Did fish need a Masaira? Absolutely not. Right? The Gemara tells us, Chulin Daf Nun Tes, fish are eaten, you don't even need a Gemara. It's a Pasa, Kasha, Yeshos, Napir, Vekas, Keses, fins and scales. Right? My daughters are very into this. Right? We take them to Fairway, and you can see the little fish over there, which fish are kosher, which fish aren't kosher, right? Gevaldik. Fish do not need a masora. Now, but you need to know it has fins and scales. What about tuna? Tuna. There are three types of tuna. There is yellowfin, skipjack, and albacore. Is tuna kosher at all? Rav Schechter has an article in his Sefer Ginas Egos, his most recent Sefer, Simen Tes Zayin, which was printed earlier by the OU, where he goes through the entire discussion of tuna fish. Rav Hinken asked for tuna fish years ago. The first part that Rav Schechter has in the piece in Ginas Egos is maybe Chacham Sha'asar in Chaver Rishai Lahatir. Once Rav Hinken asked for tuna fish, because you don't know the simanim, by the time you get it in the can, it doesn't have the fins and the scales, you can't tell what it had. So maybe Chacham Sha'asar in Chaver Rishai Lahatir, no rabbi has a right to be matir tuna fish. Zok Rav Schechter, no, if you look at the place, you look at the Shuvas of Rivash, it means Chacham Sha'asar, this item! Right? So all the cans of tuna fish that were around when Rav Hinken made his psak are taka asr. The assumption is that since Rav Hinken made his psak 50 years ago, all the cans of tuna fish that were around then have since been consumed.
Or they're usr for contested.
Or they're usr for other reasons. So mamela, right? So mamela it's going to be okay. Mamela, other chachamim can argue with Rav Hinken. Who argued with Rav Hinken? Rav Aaron Cutler is known to have been make on bumblebee tuna fish, and Rav Soloveitchik was make on bumblebee tuna fish. Now, is it enough? Do you have to check the simanim each time you want to eat a fish? L'chaim not. It's clear that Tvias Ayin helps. Right? If I know that this is a min yellowjack, and I know that yellowfin, and I know that yellowfin always has fins and scales, no problem.
The Tvias Ayin is for
But the problem is, Tfiyas Ayin won't help over here.
What's the source for Tfiyas Ayin?
What's the source for Tfiyas Ayin? So the Gemara says that Tfiyas Ayin has Hech b'nei Adam mutar bin Tresayim b'layla Ela b'Tfiyas Ayin v'kala. Right, the Gemara says that Tfiyas Ayin helps. Tfiyas Ayin helps even in Dinim Doiraisa. We're make on Agunas with Tfiyas Ayin v'chara. Right? So you don't have to check each time if they have Simanim. Question is, what about the fish I get in my can where I don't have Tfiyas Ayin? Because I can't recognize that this is yellowfin by the time I get it. No chance. So, not clear. Rav Shechter quoted in the shir that the Mechaber and the Ramah quote from a Tosfos Rid that this is okay, that if the goyim are going fishing and they always get one type of fish that's mutter and they never get an usser fish, that's a super duper roven, you could rely on that. When I was reading his article now, I didn't see that Tosfos Rid quoted in that article. But in the article, Neginas Egos in Simen Tes Zayin, Rav Shechter quoted from the Ramah in Simen Pei Gimel, that the Ramah says that, let's say a guy, there's an isef kirvei dagim, you have fish intestines, part of a fish, the inside of a fish. You can't see it if it had fins and scales anymore. The Ramah says that a guy is nemon to say that the kirvei dagim came from a kosher fish. Right? How can you rely on the guy? What nemon does the guy have? Teretz is, obviously, that there's a very strong rubah d'lasa kamon, that for business reasons, they're not going to lie to you. You see, not only are they makbid to separate tuna from other types of fish, but they're even makbid to separate the albacore from the yellowfin. Because albacore and yellowfin have to be cooked two different amounts of times. One is 13 and a half minutes, one is 11 and a half minutes. So lemaisa, they're going to be very makbid for business reasons on this. That is enough to give Ne'amonus to the guy. That's what Rav Shechter said. Again, if you want more information, you have to read the article inside. The next issue that comes up with the tuna, though, is a concern of Bishalakum. Because tuna is cooked by the guyim in the plant. They catch the tuna on the fish, and then they steam it in the plant. And then it's cooked a second time in the cans to kill all the bacteria. Is there an issur bishul akum on the tuna? So the OU has three snifim lahakel that it uses to be mako on tuna for bishul akum. First of all, after it's cooked the first time, it's nechal kamo shulchai. Apparently the people work in the factories just nibble on it all the time. Second of all, kitar, steaming, might not be considered bishul. There's a suffix in the Yerushalmi Nedarim, whether Mu'ushan is considered bishul or not, for purposes of bishul akum and for purposes of the darim. And then there's a discussion in the Prisha and the Simon Pei Zayin and Yerideya. What does it mean when we speak about Mu'ushan? Does Mu'ushan mean hot steam or cold steam or smoking? If you assume it means hot steam, so then you could be mako, because since it's a suffix whether it's considered bishul, by bishul akum it's only nesed drabanan, suffix drabanan lahakel. That's the second cooler.
How is it cold? There is such a thing as cold smoking?
Cold smoking is like the way they process salmon. That you put it in a room with cold smoke and it cures the fish. This is not what's done over here. Over here they use hot steam. So here you have to rely on the day and the prisha that ma'ushan means even hot steam.
And the pickling is not... And when it's cold, it's never bishul akum.
Cold is not bishul akum. That's right. Yeah. Mm. Now, the other kula that we have by the tuna is like this. By pas akum, we are making what's called pas palter. Stuff that's made in a mass sort of way. That we're making on by pas akum. The iser is only if a balabayas bakes bread, then they might come to marry his daughter. But bread is made in a factory, it's not a problem. The chida quoted some acharinim who were Mekel on this by Bishul Akum as well, but we don't follow their opinion. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva that is printed in the River of Sefer and is written to Rabbi Menachem Ganak, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said that if the factory has the type of equipment that no one has in their own house, So therefore, no one could make this type of thing. You cannot make it cherry in your own house. No? It's not shy to make them all exactly the same. You can't do it. So if it's made on the type of equipment that you can't possibly have at home, so there's absolutely no concern. Right? First of all, it's made somewhere very far away. You have that one day in the chidah. Second of all, you can't make it at home because high gavin, there's no low plug, and therefore we're going to be mako. So these are the three snifim lahaka on the bishul akum of the tuna.
Okay.
Right? Now, let's just talk about a few other things that Rav Shechter mentioned. Swordfish. A swordfish kosher or not. This is a big discussion. Some poskim say that the type of scales that the swordfish have aren't regular scales. Rav Shechter says, why not? Looks like regular scales to me. I don't know. I don't know. So Rav Shechter said that the pashtus is that swordfish should be kosher.
He said the scales are connected by both sides of the scale or something?
That's on the sturgeon.
Oh.
That's on the sturgeon. The sturgeon is a big discussion. The Noi de Yehuda once saw a fish. We don't know if it was a sturgeon. It wasn't a sturgeon. The Tshuva Mei Ahava said it might have been a sturgeon. Some poets can say the Noi de Yehuda changed his mind and he was Mako. We don't know. The thing about sturgeon is that in order to get the scales off, you can't just take a knife and rub it one way. You have to rub one way, cut one way, and cut the other way, and pull it out. So the Ramban al HaTorah seems to be machmir in this. The sturgeon scales, would seem, therefore, not to be halachic scales, and therefore sturgeon is not kosher. If you would look, there are apparently six different types of scales that fish have. Sharks also have scales, but they have scales that are under the skin. They're called ganglionous scales. Rabbi Blake used to give a shir about this in contemporary halacha called Piskat Haturi El Kashrus. Apparently, right, there are certain animals that have different types of scales. Shows us what's the halachic definition of a scale. That's also part of the issue with the sturgeon. In addition to the fact that you have to use the knife two ways to get it out, and the way the Darkei Tshuva quotes it, is that you use it two ways and it's going to end up making a hole in the buser of the fish to get the scale out. So because high gavna, it's not halachically a scale. There's a discussion about the king clip, which is a fish that they eat in South Africa. The scales are very soft. Okay, so what? Chora, soft scales are also scales. Some poskim say, well, a king clip doesn't have tzuris hadag. Why not? What does tzuris hadag mean? Well, some poskim say tzuris hadag means it has to have a split tail fin. Yeah, is that true? We eat fish that do not have split tail fins. The sole doesn't have a split tail fin. What's the issue with the king clip? Apparently, there was one Rav in South Africa wrote a book asking the king clip. He brought it to Rav Shechter, and the people got very upset. Rav Shechter, they took the book because this guy was put in chayim for trying to answer the king clip, whatever it is. But the king clip actually looks more like an eel than it looks like a fish. So that could be why it's a problem, because it doesn't have tzuras hadag. Now, around 50 years ago, there's another question. So let's go back. Okay, we are assuming, Ashkenazim assume, Oif needs Mesorah. Dagim definitely does not need Mesorah. Does Behema need Mesorah? Do you need a Mesorah to know that an animal, a Behema, is kosher? The Shach in one place says that you need a Mesorah. Yeah, is that what the Shach meant here? The Chaya Adam, the Chochmas Adam, I should say, he said that's what the Shach meant. But the Pashtus is what the Shach meant, is that you need a Mesorah to know what's a Behema versus what's a Chaya, because Chaylev is also by a Behema. Chaylev is not also by Chayah. So if you want to eat the Chaylev, then you need a Mesorah. In Pashtus, you don't need a Mesorah on the Behemoth, no, that's kosher. This issue came up by a Zibu years ago. Rav Herzog wanted to be Mako on the Zibu. The Chazon Ish wanted to be Machmir on it. Lemaisa, the whole Shaila shouldn't be relevant anymore, because now they found out that a Zibu can breed with regular cows. And the Gemara Bechorios tells us that whenever an animal can breed with a kosher animal, that animal, by definition, has to be kosher, no shayla. So it shouldn't be a question at all.
What's the name of the animal?
The Zibu. Z-E-B-U. Hmm. Now, so that's the issue of Mesorah. Another issue that comes up in Kashrus, which is not, until now we've been doing like Simon Pei, Pei Aleph, Pei Beis, Pei Gimel. Those are simonim of Behema, Chaya. Oaf, Dagim, okay? There's one shayla that comes up in Yerdei Simin Samach. That's a shayla of veal. See, the mission at the end of Tamur in Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the mission says that Kishera Sheyanka Mitrefa Psula Legabe Mizbeach. Reb Chanina ben Antigna said that if you have a kosher animal that nourishes a mitreif animal, right, so it can't be brought on the Mizbeach. The Rambam and Perish HaMishnah doesn't pass like Chanina ben Antignus, but Tosfos and Tamur in Daf Lamed Aleph passes like Chanina ben Antignus. Not only does Tosfos pass like Chanina ben Antignus, Tosfos says it's mistaber that the Isser is not only Lagabe HaMizbeach, but it's even Lehedyot. Now, why is this an issue? Basically, this issue means that if I have a kosher animal that ate non-kosher food, so according to Tosfos, it's going to be Aser. Yeah, but what type of non-kosher food does the animal eat? So the Shach assumes that the Isser is only on Isurei Hana'ah. If the animal consumed Isser Hana'ah food, then it's going to be a problem. The Ramah, however, is Machmer that even if the animal consumed Isurei Achila, it's a problem. Good. Good. Now, how is this issue negeya for us? Veal. Those of you who are interested, I wrote an article together with Rabbi Josh Flug in the RJJ Journal. We wrote about this. I have to admit that we wrote about this at the request of Rav Schechter. The shaila is, why is veal kosher? Veal calves consume basar b'cholav. What they do is they take powdered basar b'cholav and they heat it up with water, they mix it together, and that's all they drink. So, is that behemosh in this patma miyisurei hana'ah? The oyu was makel on veal, because they cook the veal stuff, this veal feed, they cook it in a kli sheni. Therefore, it's not basar b'cholav min ha-Torah, it's only basar b'cholav min d'rabbanan, so it's not asar b'hana'ah, it's only asar b'achila. But even according to the Ramah, it should still be a problem. Because according to the Ramah, right, behemosh in this patma from yisurei achila is also asar. There's another problem with the veal. Now, it's not clear why exactly the veal is okay. There's another problem with the veal. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that veal will have a very high incidence of treifus. You have to see these animals. They're very wobbly. In Shulchan Aruch says you can't shecht an animal. It's very wobbly. Concerned maybe it's going to be a treifa. Now, the later poskim who looked into the veal situation after Moshe wrote his Tshuva answering all veal because of treifus, Moshe said, you can't ask for the veal because it's Tzar Balachayim, because even though it's Aser to inflict Tzar Balachayim, but it won't make the veal non-kosher. But you could ask for it because of the higher incidence of treifus, and you have to check the B'nai Me'ayim, Moshe says, and we might not have a good mesor about how to check B'nai Me'ayim, how to check the stomach. L'maisa, the Rabbonim, who looked at the veal calves, said that there's no higher incidence of treifus in the veal than there isn't anything else. When I wrote my article, no one wanted to go on record as saying this. I think I got the Nir Bata Rav eventually. I have a footnote. The Nir Bata Rav said that he looked into it. But a few of the other people were scared of going on record saying that Reb Moshe just didn't have the right metzias.
Also, they're fattened, and that's why
they are fattened.
That's why they were... Did Reb Moshe know that they were wobbling because they're fattened?
They're not wobbling because they're fattened. They're wobbling because they grow them in very small... They're raised in very small pens. I mean, the fact that they're fattened, if they are grass-fed veal, they walk around. These veal calves, they keep them their whole life, like in the cubicle, like this big. They can't move. That's why they're so weak. Their knees never develop.
I mean, we all should know that reason.
About
why they would be wobbling.
Ramoshan saw that the veal is wobbly, which it is. It is wobbly. The shalis, does that mean there's a higher incidence of treifus? Apparently it doesn't. Apparently those people looked at the treifus issue, found that there was no higher incidence of treifus.
You said about the mesorah of checking the me'ayim is, you said specifically for veal.
Yeah.
You mean...
I don't know if we...
You don't mean...
I don't know if the sheikh didn't know how to check lungs. I don't know if sheikh didn't know how to check b'nei me'ayim. Well,
the me'ayim are the
innards, the stomach area.
But
there was also a problem with the tzomet hagidin, possibly with the. He didn't. We'll talk about that in a second. Why not? That we'll talk about in a second.
Reuven Chaim claimed by the wobbliness of the animals that if because of the fact that they're wobbly, they wouldn't be able to actually survive on their own, where they had to let out and fend for themselves. And he claimed that that would be just as much a problem as treifus as any.
It could be, right? But that itself is a shayla. Are the animals so wobbly But clearly they don't work just because they never learned how to walk well, because they spent their whole life cooped up. If you push them out for a few minutes, the only time these animals ever walk is on the way to slaughter. It's gross. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting what goes on with veal. Okay, now, why is it that when Rav Ben Chaim shechted our sheep, what? How come when Rav Ben Chaim shechted the sheep, so he only checked the lungs, he didn't check anything else? So the basic answer is that the Ramban said, King of Chulin, that we only check those things where there is a miyut hamotzei of trefels. What is miyut hamotzei? A significant minority. The Mishnah's Yankov assumes 10%. Rav Yaakov Wablowski pointed out to me that if you read the Ramban in the Sugya of Tesha Chanuyos, he also is saying the same thing. It's a big bekeis to know that the Ramban in Ksuvis says also 10%. Like the Mishnah's Yankiv, Rebbe Yashav is quoted 7.5%, Rav Neubert is quoted as 5%. Different shiurim of what is the amount of incidence that requires checking. This is not only nogea for treif, this is nogea for shatnez also. Right? I didn't check this sweater for shatnez. Right? Why not? Well, men's wool sweaters apparently don't have shatnez in them. Now, the further kasha comes up, well, what does that mean? Does that mean men's wool sweaters that are made in Britain? Men's wool sweaters that are made in Cambodia? Where the men's wool sweaters that are this color, that color? Right? It's really hard to know. Right? So that's a further shayla. The minig is that we check most everything for shatnez. Why not? It's not such a hard thing to do. Support the local shatnez checker. But it could be that maker, I think you don't have to check a lot of the stuff for shatnez. So, Miyut HaMotzei is what you have to check. This is also true by Bedikas Tolaim, no? When do I have to check if there is bugs? If there is a 10% incidence, Miyut HaMotzei. Yeah, 10% of what, though? 10% of my bites? I'm going to get a bug, I'm sorry for being gruesome, I'm getting a bug in 1 out of every 10 bites? A bug in 1 out of every 10 servings? What do I check? It's not clear. If you look in the OU guide to Bedikos Tolaim, in the Hakdama, they discuss this issue a little bit. So, the other shayla that comes up by Tolaim, that's very important, is let's say they rinse the lettuce, or they rinse the vegetable. In the rinsing process, so now I'm no longer going to have 10% incidence after I rinse it. There still are going to be some bugs there, but it won't be a miyut hamotzei. Is that enough to remove the chiyah bedika? I know for sure that lettuce had a chiyah bedika. Lettuce has 10% of romaine lettuce, let's say. Has 10%. Likely there's going to be bugs. But I rinse it off. This is what the star K does, no? Pre-washed lettuce. What's the cheshbon? Pre-washed lettuce means...
For what? They do it for what? For the...
They have high-powered... When you get star K lettuce, it used to say... I think of like last year they found out that it really was infested many times. They didn't tell... 2 years ago? But the old star K lettuce that used to have hashgacha on it was just pre-washed. Which means that they had high-powered jets of water that they'd shoot at the lettuce, and it would knock the bugs off. So now it's no longer 10%. But to have to check... Unclear in the Paiskim, right, if doing that Maisa can remove the Chiyuv to check entirely. The other issue that comes up in Tolaim, in the Shemira Shabbos Kolchasa Perek Gimel, Ha'ara 105, Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach says, if you see something that looks like a dot, and under the microscope you could see it has legs, Reb Shlomo Zalman was Megal, but then he quoted that the Chazonish, he heard, Mibo'i Beisol Shal Chazonish, and the Chazonish was Machmir. Question, does that mean that Reb Shlomo Zalman was really Machmir on it or not? Reb Shechter felt that Reb Shlomo Zalman himself was the Maisa being Mekel on it. He just said that the Chazanish was Machmir on this Shaila. It is true, though, that a bug could be very tiny and you don't see any legs, but still it's going to be usher for a bug. Rashi and Erevin write that Sheretz is called Sheretz because it's Rutz. Sheretz, or Gabi Karaka. You see it because it moves. This is the issue with copepods, no? The copepods in New York City water. Why are they a problem? Okay. Huh? These little bugs.
When they saw them, they didn't see the whole thing?
When you see them, you cannot really see... You can't see any legs or anything. Mm. But you see dots in the water. But you see that these dots are moving in a way. Like, there is always going to be some bubbles in the water, but they move up and down. These dots move side to side, and they like do little dances when they're alive. So that, I was there when the guy brought Rav Schechter the water with the copper pads in it, and he looked at it, and he says, oh, Taka, you could see that they're moving when they're alive. Most of the copper pads that we get in our faucet are dead, because there's chlorine in the water system, and the chlorine kills the copper pads. Once they're dead, you don't see the motion. But if you get live copepods and you can see them moving around, so that would be a problem. Then the shayla is, what about our dead copepods that come up in our water? No? You can't see that they're moving. The only reason you can't see they're moving is because yetz ze zenin gestorben. Right? That's Yiddish. That means that now they're dead. And that's the only reason I can't see they're moving. So what about that? Not clear. Not really clear. The OU is machmir on checking the water for bugs, that you have to filter your water to make sure there's no copepods. You can't really check it for bugs. Now, but Blake, I think in tradition, thought you should check it. You look at your water, and if you see a few times that there's no copepods, and then your faucet is mochsik not to have copepods, and you're good to go, the OU doesn't rely on that. The OU says you have to filter your water.
Yeah, I thought, like, once it got to the tap, it's also that they're broken up, and therefore you can't see them.
Yeah, so they don't break up.
I thought it very well was saying that like you had to collect them because they couldn't see them.
So I went with Rabbi Joshua. We went to one of the laboratories in Albert Einstein, and not only did we look at copepods under a microscope after they went through the faucet and they were not broken, but even after we boiled them in a beaker. Right, we are vicious people. Pete will get us because we boiled copepods. But even after we boiled our copepods, they do not really break up.
Is there something that
some of them, the antennas fall off of. But they don't really break up.
Maybe that helps someone.
That's unclear. That's a shayla. Is it not considered a burial when it loses its antenna? It's a good shayla. Yeah, that's something you have to look into. Yeah.
Is it true that they don't go above a certain level in apartment buildings?
I don't think so. I mean, someone mentioned that, Svara. I don't know if it's true. The shayla is how come... there are these things called copepod ghosts or something, which are, you just get a skeleton of them. There's no flesh. What? So the ghosts are found more often in a type of in water that stays in the tank for a longer time. With more chlorine. The chlorine ends up eating out the flesh of these copepods.
So if you could see it, then it's better, because then maybe you could check it, even though.
Right.
So even though you could see it, the OU said you don't rely on checking.
I think the OU assumes that you have to filter them out, because once they're... It's very hard to check. It's very hard to check. I don't know if the OU Beshita holds that. I haven't looked at their official psak. This is a few years ago when this came up. Four years ago. We had Rabbi Lach, who wrote the Chul on the Illuminated. He came here to Yeshiva, he gave a shiur about the copepods. Okay, so I think we're going to break over here, and we'll try to be machlim some later point. We have to finish up Rav Schechter about enzymes. We have to talk about Rav Ben Hayim and Rav Ganesh. We'll have to talk one other night this week. Maybe two.